Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A Living History production.
This is the Living History Podcast, broadcasting live across the airwaves.
Hello and welcome to Living History. Thank you for joining me once again for a walk through the pages of history. Thank you for all the feedback we've had lately. It's been a busy time. Peter Hart's book has just come out, The Gallipoli Evacuation, so that's prompted a lot of people to get in touch. So firstly, I'd say if you haven't ordered your copy of The Gallipoli Evacuation, please do, because it's absolutely a sensational read. So congratulations to Peter Hart on the great work he's done there. But also thank you for the feedback that it's prompted. A lot of people have been out posting pictures on social media of them holding their book, and it's prompted them to reach out to us and just tell us how much they're enjoying the content we're putting out. So thank you. 2020 has been a difficult year, and so hopefully the contribution we've made here at Living History has helped in some small way to get you through these trying times. And let's hope that that we can be back to normal fairly soon. Speaking of getting back to normal, the thing I'm most looking forward to when we're allowed to travel again and when life returns to some sort of phase of normal is getting back to the battlefields, because I love getting out walking the ground. It's my favorite thing to do. And during this time when we can't get out and walk the battlefields, I'm doing something a little bit different, something to appease my spirit a little bit. I've launched a podcast called Battle Walks, which is describing exactly this, doing virtual walks across the battlefields. And I'm really loving doing it. We're launching it on the 4th of November. You'll see the first episode out there. So please go to Apple Podcasts or Google or Amazon or Spotify or wherever you are listening to this podcast and subscribe to Battle Walks, because it's a really enjoyable series that we've been recording over the last couple of months. And I'm just loving it. I love getting out walking the battlefields, and joining me on those battlefield walks is a dear friend of mine and a very knowledgeable historian. It's Peter Smith. Pete, great to have you on the program to talk all about battle walks.
It's great, Matt. It's nice to be out doing walks when we're not guiding. So I'm really, really enjoying it.
We've been discussing, mate, that we're both going a little bit stir-crazy, not getting out and being able to walk the battlefields. But at least you live in France. You live on the battlefields. So at least even when you get a weekend away, you can go out and walk the ground. How has it been exploring the battlefields with no tourists?
Quiet. It's extraordinary, really. And I was trying to think of another period in history when you'd have been able to do this. And I have to say, there isn't really one, because immediately after the First World War, we had the pilgrims coming across and their families. And so the battlefields have always been busy. There's always been the people here walking them. I live on the middle of the battlefields, and we see people on a daily basis. So it's very odd to literally to be in a cemetery where you're normally very rarely by yourself. Maybe you may be by yourself, but people will pass. Other people will just stick their heads in. Sometimes you find people who are laying wreaths, but there is just nobody here. So I go, you can literally go from one cemetery to another. You can get out, you can walk, and nobody here. Very, very strange. And I suppose I should really feel honored to, in a bizarre way, to be one of the only people on the battlefield, along with a few of my colleagues who live out here, continuing to visit and to pay our respects. So it's an honor for me to be able to do that when there's nobody else here.
I'm assuming that between 1940 and 1944, it would have been pretty quiet in the battlefield touring front as well. But isn't it interesting, though? I don't say that lightly. I say that because these world events influence, you know, that people always want to get back and walk in the footsteps of history and visit these emotive places. And it's these huge world events, a pandemic at the moment, the Second World War, that get in the way of doing that.
It's interesting, Matt, because even during that period, I've got a little, I collect photographs of the Great War and other photographs that I find interesting. And it's amazing how many Germans, German military men of that period during the occupation spent time to go and have a look at our cemeteries, to look at the Empire's cemeteries, not their own German cemeteries, but to go and have a look at the enemy's cemeteries. And so yes, they were even visited during that period, but by Germans.
Extraordinary stuff. Extraordinary. I know in the Ulster Tower in the Somme, there's a swastika carved into the masonry work there. So obviously a German soldier during the Second World War took the opportunity to leave the Führer's mark. The same at the Chateau at Bertong, which was the Australian headquarters in 1918. I was filming a documentary there a couple of years ago and had a lot of downtime to wander around. And so I scanned every panel of that amazing building looking for graffiti that I knew soldiers love to leave, and found lots of it, not just from the First World War, but from all chapters of history. But again, a swastika, and I think it was 43 when a German came through there and carved his initials and a swastika into the wall. So it's not what we're talking about today, but a fascinating footnote that how soldiers love to leave their mark.
Yeah, graffiti. It's one of my interests, actually. Graffiti on the battlefields. Yeah, very interesting.
I suppose, I mean, we should do a separate podcast about it, but what it harks back to is, especially at places like at Noir, the underground city, the incredible chalk caves that are absolutely covered in soldiers' graffiti and should definitely be visited by everyone who's on the Western Front. But it always speaks to me about the risk of the loss of life, that the soldiers knew that they were not a permanent feature of the landscape, that at any moment they could literally disappear without a trace. And so they wanted to leave something to establish some permanence of the fact that they were there. And sadly, you see graffiti written by soldiers who, within days or weeks, were killed on the battlefield. It's heart-wrenching stuff.
It's one of my little interests in the rear areas. There are a lot of original churches. They were not destroyed. They're far enough back not to have been destroyed. And most of the churches in this area are either made out of chalk or soft limestone, very easy to carve into. And it's like every time the soldier stopped to have a rest, he just got out a nail or something and started scratching his name into the walls. And you can come across amazing little inscriptions from the men of both wars, interestingly, who decided to leave something of themselves on a religious icon, on a church. And I think there's a dual connection there. It is about leaving something of yourself because you may be leaving soon, and also a bit of luck, an element of luck, on an element of even if you're not particularly a Christian, but best I just I'll write something on here just in case that it may help.
Well, thank God they did, because they've left these little permanent reminders of the fact that they were there. And that's really what we're talking about in this new series, Battle Walk. So we've been recording it over the last couple of months, and mate, I've been absolutely loving it. We are virtually, even though I'm sitting here in my bedroom in Sydney and you're in your living room in France, we've been walking the battlefields in our mind's eye, and it's extraordinary. You still, even though we're not actually on the ground, you still connect with the emotions and with the feelings of being there on the ground.
I think it's interesting. I found it enjoyable because it feels a little bit like I am literally walking the ground. But B, I've got a fairly substantial library. I have to get the books out, have a quick look, refresh my memory, and I'm learning something new. It's amazing how often you just pick up a little snippet of information that you may not have come across before, and then adding it into the walk. And I have the added luxury as well that if I really, really want to, I can get out and actually do these walks as well, just to double check to make sure that they're making sense. So yeah, for me, very enjoyable.
Well, you've got to stop it, Pete. You're making me jealous, and I'm sure you're making everyone listening jealous as well, that you can actually get out and walk the ground. But good on you, mate, and thank you for still getting out there and paying your respects when we can't. It's a really wonderful thing. But I love about this, mate, that we've been learning things from each other as we've gone along, exactly as it has been when you and I have walked the battlefields in person together. You're always exchanging ideas. I remember that wonderful trip we did to Gallipoli in 2013, I believe it was, where we spent a week or so walking the battlefield at Gallipoli with a number of other historians. Wasn't that a fascinating experience? And isn't it great to walk the ground? It doesn't matter who you walk the ground with, whether you walk the ground with another historian, whether it's a passenger on a tour, whether it's just a mate or a friend, you're always going to learn something new. Even just their perspective on the battlefield can teach you new things that you didn't previously know.
I think it's one of the great parts of being with other people when you're walking the battlefields, is that ability to chat and to pass ideas and exchange knowledge, and hopefully that when we'll do these with these podcasts, that people will learn a little bit from when we pass the knowledge to each other, because you never stop learning. It's one of the great things about the battlefields and about walking the actual ground, is you never stop learning and just looking around you and looking at points and thinking, oh, that's If I was on the ground here and a German machine gunner, where would I want to place my gun? I'd put it on that ridge over there. And then you could wander across and go and have a look at that ridge and realise that there are still rams in the ground. And so you have that confirmation that, yeah, the German was thinking along the lines that you're thinking of. So it's great to be able to walk the ground.
Oh, I just love it, mate. I'm getting excited even just with you describing that. That moment when you look down and find a cartridge case in the ground is always... So knowing that someone fired a rifle or a machine gun from where you were standing, you know, a century ago is just extraordinary stuff. But let's talk about some of these wonderful places we visit, some of these wonderful battlefields that we walk in battle walks. The Somme, you know, your home, the area you live, and obviously one of the most iconic chapters of not just First World War history, but warfare in general. There's so many great places to visit on the Somme, aren't there?
I think the key to these walks is that we try to keep it to a little tiny glimpse each time. You can't do enormous great walks because there's just so much information that you can absorb and express about what was going on around you. And so we keep them small. So one of my favourites is my village itself. So a walk through my village, a walk in the towards Poisier, just in this as you're moving up to Poisier, rather than doing the whole battle from start to finish. And so I think that's what's been enjoyable, is breaking down these battlefields into small walks that are manageable in 45 minutes, because that's the average time that we're going to be these podcasts are going to go out. So 45 minutes covering just a fragment of one battle.
And I should say as well that I'm an Aussie. There's lots of Aussie listeners we have, but we also have listeners from all over the world. We have British listeners, Canadians, New Zealanders, a lot of people from America now. We're getting a lot more US listeners as well, which is really wonderful. So hello to all our friends out there in America. And we're going to reflect that in the Battle Walks podcast. So there'll be an Australian flavour to it, like everything that I do, but it's truly an international podcast. So we've recorded some wonderful episodes about things like the first day on the Battle of the Somme, where the plucky Brits went through those horrific conditions on the first day on the Somme. As you say, a walk through your village of Fleur, which is an extraordinary walk to get your knowledge about the place that you call home. The Australian battle at Dernancourt we've recently recorded, you know, a little known chapter, a really important chapter of the Australian experience on the Western Front, but not very well known. So there's so many elements to the Somme, and of course so much fighting, particularly in 1916 and then again in 1918. So many elements of the First World War can be discussed and explored just in the Somme region.
And then, of course, we're going further afield. We're not just sticking to the First World War battlefields. We're also going to have a look at some Second World War actions, and also some of the medieval battlefields. We're very close here to Agincourt and Crécy, so they will also form a podcast at some stage. And we're not that far away from battlefields like Waterloo. Waterloo is not that far away. So it's amazing. I always often describe it that I'm fairly centrally placed here where I live. I live in the little village of Fleur, and we're about 2 hours away from almost everything. So within 2 hours, I can get to the coast, and I can get to Waterloo, and an awful lot of interesting battlefields to look at.
We're covering a lot more ground than we would be able to on a physical tour of the battlefields, and going to a lot of places that I haven't been. And the other thing, Pete, is too that I'm taking you to some places you haven't been, because although we're saying that we're walking the great battlefields of Europe, we are going a little bit further afield. And in upcoming episodes, I want to record a few really interesting ones that I think you'll quite enjoy, Pete. Guadalcanal, for example, in the Solomon Islands. One of my favourite places to go. And I'm going to take you on a virtual tour there, Pete, to a place that I know you haven't actually been to. So you'll be joining the listeners in a new journey to a battlefield that you haven't explored before.
Well, I'm looking forward to it in several ways. One, because I haven't been, and this will be a way of going there. But two, it means that I'm probably going to have to buy a couple of books just to get an idea of what went on, and any excuse to buy more books.
Well, we should also talk. I want to talk a little bit more about some of these. The cornerstone of what we're doing will be the First World War. We are both avid fans of the incredible story of what went on in the First World War. But we can't mention the Somme without also talking about its cousin across the Belgian border, which is the Ypres salient. What an area that is, Pete. I never tire of walking around the Ypres battlefields.
Extraordinary, and the people are so welcoming and make you feel very very welcome when you go there. And I have to say, I probably in my guiding career, I spend half my time there. So half my time is on the battlefields in France, and half my time is on the battlefields around Belgium, especially around the town of Ypres. And just fantastic. I think one of the podcasts we'll be doing will just be a walk around Ypres itself, around the town. It's a beautiful town, and very sad at the moment, the lack of people there, no tourists at all, and they've just gone into lockdown again. So yeah, very, very sad. So I'm looking forward to getting back there.
They're very distinct battlefield regions, aren't they? The Somme is very, very different from the Ypres Salient in terms of the nature of the fighting, the types of things you can visit there, the history itself. They're very distinct battlefield regions. Sometimes people who haven't been to the Western Front say, oh, well, I'll just do one or the other. You've got to do both because they're extraordinary and quite distinct from one another.
It's amazing how many people only cover, over the years, I've come across a lot of people who have been coming to the Somme for 20 years. And I say, what do you think of Ypres? I've never been. And that's just extraordinary because you're only getting one side of the story, literally. You need to go to both areas. And it may be that they have a relative that perhaps only fought on the Somme, but that's still no excuse, really. You have to experience the whole of the Western Front. So it's a must going to both areas.
We'll be going further afield as well, of course, not just to those two main areas of the Somme and Ypres, but also the Arras sector. We'll be up in French Flanders. We've done a recording on the famous battlefield of Fromelles, one of the most famous Australian battlefields. So we're going further afield, interesting sites from all across the Western Front to do with the First World War.
Yep, and Fromelles always a great place to go. And the landscapes are so different. I mean, Fromelles flat as a pancake, the Somme very rolling countryside, and that land around Ypres, the salient around Ypres that are often talked about, you know, most people, again, perceive it to be flat as a pancake, but it's not. That has got little ripples and bumps and ridges in it, so very different landscapes.
Reminds me of the Suvla Plain. No, the landscape of the Somme doesn't remind me of the Suvla Plain in Gallipoli. But the nature of a landscape that you talk about, the fighting at Suvla at Gallipoli, and a lot of it is fought across a flat lake, a salt lake, and then into this flat land surrounded by hills. And from a distance, it looks very flat and very accommodating. You try walking across the Suvla Plain and imagine you're a soldier carrying gear. There's little bumps and ridges and rivulets and creeks and gullies, and it is a tough environment to fight. So that's, again, the importance of walking the ground, to get an understanding that what looks flat on a map or looks flat from an aerial photo is not flat at all when you walk the ground.
I've said it on the podcast and at other times as well, that there's nothing better than actually being there, and hopefully we'll be able to give you a little bit of a taste of what it's like, because being there, it never really feels as you would expect, and it's something I've experienced over and over again. Go to a new battlefield and it just doesn't feel like what you expect it to feel like, and so hopefully we can try and put you there so you get a bit of a feel of what it is like to be there.
We'll be walking Gallipoli as well. It was good that I touched on Gallipoli because we're doing a number of really interesting walks in Gallipoli. We've recently completed a walk along the second ridge in the Anzac sector. I mean, Pete, what can you say about Gallipoli? One of the most extraordinary battlefields. If you want to get out and walk in the footsteps of history, I don't think there's anywhere on earth like Gallipoli to do that.
I found it, when we recorded that episode, I found it quite difficult because it is such an extraordinary landscape, both beautiful and so horrific. So you get that juxtaposition of knowing what went on there, and yet the landscape today, it's such a beautiful place. And the ridges are serious ridges. We talk about ridges here on the Western Front, and very rarely they're nothing more than the ripple in the landscape, in the ground. But the ridges at Gallipoli are serious ridges, and so you get spectacular views. And so it's a most marvellous place.
And not just First World War, of course. We touched a little bit that we're going to do some Second World War battlefields, and indeed further afield. Hopefully we'll do Vietnam as one as well, another battlefield that I love visiting. But some fascinating World War II sites right on your doorstep. The one I enjoyed the most recently that we recorded was on the V weapons, Hitler's vengeance weapons that he fired on London during the Second World War. Now, that was an extraordinary podcast. I've spent a little bit of time exploring those sites. But to delve into it in detail with you, Pete, was absolutely fascinating.
Well, I look forward to actually literally taking you on the ground, Matt, next time we can get together. But it is an extraordinary part of the history of the Second World War, those V weapons, and one that we don't really think about. We think about the weapon, we think about what damage it does, but where on earth do they come from? And it's amazing how many of the sites, the firing points where they launched the V1s, are still there. In fact, hundreds of them are still there in little woods and valleys, and sometimes even among farm buildings. But they are still there, and so yeah, extraordinary. It's one of my favourite places to go and visit are the V1 sites. I'm sure we've recorded one programme, but I'm sure we will be recording others about the V1 sites, and also about the Atlantic Wall, because, of course, that's one of the other great features here. In fact, I was only at the coast a few days ago with my children, and behind us, enormous great fortifications. You just can't get away from them here. Big German fortifications, part of the Atlantic Wall. So that's perhaps another podcast as well.
And we'll be exploring those in more detail in other areas, such as I'm sure we'll get to Normandy, of course. We'll do several walks through Normandy, one of the great, obviously, World War II battlefields, an extraordinary area to visit either virtually or in person as well. But also Dunkirk, Dieppe, there's so many of those coastal chapters. The submarine pens at Saint-Nazaire. I mean, oh, I'm getting excited just thinking about getting back to France and visiting some of these sites. I'm so frustrated. But as I said, at least we have this virtual ability to walk the ground. And it's just been really exciting so far. Have you been enjoying doing it, Pete?
Oh, I have, yeah. I mean, it's all new to me. I've not been involved in a podcast before, and I'm learning as well, learning the art of podding. Is that what you call it?
We are now podding. We're calling it podding now that we've just invented a new word. Yeah.
But it's also it's nice when you're not actually taking your clients around the battlefield to actually to run over, as I said, to have a look at and see if you can learn a little bit more for this all helps me for the future as well. So no, it's great. I'm really enjoying it very much.
Well, mate, you're a podcast natural. I'm thrilled to have you joining me on these walks, because I've done some virtual walks before on Living History. And they are always the most popular episodes that I ever do. And I get so much feedback about it. And it's something just I really enjoy doing. Everything I do as a historian is involved in walking the ground, whether it's from my books to the TV documentaries I do to podcasts like this one. It's all about walking the ground. And to me, the most significant part of this whole story is connect what you read in a history book or what you see in a documentary with what is still there on the ground. It's a remarkable journey. And Pete, I'm loving doing battle walks. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey.
No, it's a pleasure, Matt. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, if you would like to tune in to Battle Walks each week, as I said, we're launching on November 4. The first episode will be coming out, and weekly thereafter. You can subscribe now. It's available on all the great podcast channels. So wherever you are listening to this one now, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Amazon, we're everywhere. Wherever you find good podcasts, you will find Battle Walks, and you can subscribe now. There's an introductory episode there. So please subscribe so you'll be ready when that first one comes out. Tell your friends about it, review the podcast, share the episodes if you enjoy them, because it's going to be something really special. And we look forward to walking the ground with you on Battle Walks. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for the podcast, and visit livinghistorytv.com for more great history content.